السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. حضرة مفتي عبد القادر صاحب، أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا to you on this beautiful Monday morning. حضرة مفتي صاحب، may Allah Ta'ala bless you and Aafa with Aafiyat and good health. Allah give you the strength and energy to continue doing the work of Dawat in Tabligh and keeping the Ummah informed and enlightened. May Allah Ta'ala accept all your efforts, grant us all ikhlas, and take us to the beautiful month of Ramadan. Hazrat Mufti Sahab, the platform is yours.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa salim kareem. Ameen, ameen, ameen to all the wonderful du'as and supplications. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan and Brother Dawood Munli. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 18th of Sha'ban 1446. And today is day number 500 from the October 7th, 2023. So till today is the 500 days have passed now, and they have big plans there in Israel to protest against their government, which they know are not really being honest brokers and so forth. Nevertheless, today we continue with the tafsir and commentary of the noble Quran. Our starting point is chapter 43, Surah Zukhruf, gold, as we did in our previous lesson, and verses number 36, 37, and 38. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala states, وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَانِ وَمَنْ يَعْشُ, and whosoever. To understand the word يَعْشُ, we have to go to the philology, history of the word. يَعْشُ, عَشَى, يَعْشُ will mean that a person has illness, sickness in his eyes, and slowly and gradually he or she, Allah forbid, goes completely blind. So those people who are blind from the truth, those people who turn away from the truth because they themselves are blind. So that is what is meant here. Blind physically, blind spiritually. So all these meanings will be valid. وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَانِ, and whosoever is blind and turns away from the remembrance of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, the Quran Sharif, the Sunnah Mubarakah, because that also is wahi and revelation coming to Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, chapter number 53 and verses 3 and 4. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْوِ يُوحَىٰ. He, Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, regarding matters of deen and Islam and religion, does not speak of his own desires, but it is wahi and revelation that is sent to him, to Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So those people who are blind and turn away from the truth of Rahman, the remembrance and the reminder from Almighty Allah, نُقَيِّدُ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا, then we appoint for him a special shaitan, one that will deceive him all the time and beguile him all the time. Nuqayyid, Allah Ta'ala stamping His majesty, authority, sovereignty. We are the ones who will appoint for Him the Satan and Lucifer, and He will beguile and deceive Him. For huwa lahu qareen, and that Satan, Shaitan, will be His companion all the time, stuck to Him. And Almighty Allah teaches us in the noble Quran, استحوذ عليهم الشيطان فأنساهم ذكر الله. See how the Quran Sharif elaborates and explains everything. And then only will we understand the noble Quran. Today people just look at some translation and then they want to go to make their own conclusions in the Quran Sharif or Sunnah Mubarakah. That is totally incorrect and unacceptable. You must sit by the Grand Master, by the teacher, the Ulama-i Rabbani, Ulama-i Haqqani, the true scholars, and they will teach us the deen and the religion of Islam. Chapter 58, Surah Mujadala, and verse number 19, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, when Satan, Lucifer gains the ascendancy on somebody, فَأَنْسَاهُمْ ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ, hence, consequently, he makes them forget the remembrance of Allah. There is no salat, or there is no tilawat of Quran, there is no zikr and tasbih. So all that people will forget slowly, everything they'll forget. Ulaika hizbu shaitan. Those are the people who belong to the party of Satan and Lucifer and shaitan. Allah, behold, always remember, inna hizba shaitani humul khasirun. The party of Satan will always be the losers and the failure. Chapter 58 and verse number 19. So there you can see also, نُقَيِّدْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ. So this Satan, Shaitan, will become his special companion all times, all places, all circumstances. وَإِنَّهُمْ, now Shaitan, Lucifer, and his comrades and cronies, what will they do? لَيَسُدُّونَهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ. They will definitely try to prevent people from entering and coming nearer to the path of Almighty Allah. They will tell them, no, Islam is terrorism, Islam is extremism, Islam is against A, B, C, X, Y, Z, and so forth. So they will try and make all their propaganda and a hasbara, that is the term of the jutlas and the jutlis, for they are murder. And they will say, no, we must get rid of the Palestinians, but you are the squatters, you are the occupiers, you are the invaders, hence we need to get rid of you, O Jutla, O Jutli. One settler, one bullet will settle the issue forever. So they all try, remember that, anissabili wa yahsabun, and they think and they consider, annahum muhtadun, they are on the right path. You see, Trump meets Modi, and one of the things they discuss, we must have set goals. So one of the set goals is what? We must eliminate Islamic radicalism. So you see, that is how they speak. You will hear just now in the news, views, interviews, how they are plotting, planning against the Muslims and Islam in various parts of the world. But remember that Islam will always prevail, and they will be thrown to the scraps of history, as we have seen always in the past as well. So they think they're doing a good job, and those are the people Almighty Allah Jalla Wala informed us, they are akhsareen, the biggest losers and failures. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala commanded Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to inform us the virtues of Surah Kahf. So we should be reading it, chapter 18, every Friday. And what do we see? قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا. Say, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what must we inform you of those people who are the biggest losers as far as their deeds and actions go? الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Their efforts in this worldly life also went astray. وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. But they think that they are doing good work and righteous work. Chapter 18, Surah Kahf, verse number 103 and verse 104. So there you have it also. And now the day of justice will come, the day of reckoning. So much so, إِذَا جَاءَنَا, when these people come to us, حِزْبُ الشَّيْطَان, the party of Satan, Lucifer, قال. Then they will say, يا ليت بيني وبينك. How I wish between me and you, O Satan, O Lucifer. وبينك and you, Shaitan. بعد المشرقين. It's such a distance like that between the east and the west. Mashriqain in rhetoric balagha is called taghlib. How Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein, radiallahu anhuma, the beloved Nawasa, grandchildren of the Master, Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi sallam, when you refer to both of them, you say al-Hassanain or Hassanain, because Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu was born first in the third year of the Hijrah, and in the fourth year Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu, his Milad Mubarak took place. So Bu'd al-Mashriqain, so the Mashriq, the sun rises first in the east and then it sets in the west. So therefore Taghlib, one is main dominant on the other. So Bu'd al-Mashriqain, such a huge distance should be made between the two of us, like that from the east to the west. فَبِئْسَ الْقَرِينَ, hence what a horrible, terrible, evil companion you were, you are, O Satan. But alas, it's too late. He, the people who fell in the trap of Satan and Shaitan, whole lot will be dispatched to Jahannam. Allahumma ahfadna min, Allahumma ajirna min al-nar. May Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala protect us all. And therefore, Almighty Allah, out of His infinite grace and mercy, gave us Laylatul Nisfi min Sha'ban, the 15th night of Sha'ban. Allah loves us even more, so Allah grants us the month of Ramadan. Allah loves us even more, and then Allah grants us Laylatul Qadr, the night of majesty, the night of destiny. O insan, O human being, let us turn more and more to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Ya Allah, you grant me tawfiq to say the right words and do the righteous actions that are pleasing to you and to Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even if it is displeasing to people and humanity. So that is the Muslim outlook and belief and structure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today is the 18th of Sha'ban in Makkah Mukarrama, Medina Munawwara, Aqsa al-Mubarak in Palestine, South Africa, and 90-95% of the countries of the world, 1446. These are the news, views, interviews, locally, nationally, internationally, and globally. These are what the Israelis do. And not from now, for the past 80 years. And remember, they will try and justify it. The whole world will know they are guilty. But America, the super harami, super Satan, Shaitan, they will still try and defend Israel, the rogue apartheid terrorist Nazi regime. Israel uses an 80-year-old man and a Palestinian that's 80 years old as a human shield. And thereafter, they shot him dead. They shot his wife dead. Can you believe such haramis? They are guilty of genocide. They are guilty of ethnic cleansing. They are guilty of apartheid. They are guilty of crimes against humanity. Allah Jalla Wala states, we're not bothered about the courts in this world. Allah says, chapter 7, verse 167, لَيَبْعَثَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ يَسُومُهُمْ سُوَ الْعَذَابِ. Allah Jalla Wala will surely appoint Muslim or non-Muslim to punish the jutlas. To punish the jutlas in this world, the worst punishment. So therefore, they don't know which way to turn. And now the entire public perception of Jews and of Zionism and Israel has turned 75-80%. And that is the world opinion. BB and Rubio, they are now plotting and planning. They say Hamas must be eradicated. Both Harami said so. Why must Hamas be eradicated? They are Palestinians. They have been elected democratically. And you are the ones, you say you want democracy. But because they defeated you, America and Israel, they sent 11,000 of your soldiers straight to hell. Alhamdulillah. And 71,000 they sent to hospital and clinic. And many of them are in transit straight to Jahannam. So we are very proud of Hamas. We are proud of Gaza. We are proud of Palestine. They brought honor to this ummah, not like the Arab tenpot dictators who have become your slaves and servants. So that's why you say Hamas must be eradicated. You will be eradicated and they will always be there. You must be kicked out because you are the ones who are the squatters and occupiers and invaders there. Ruby and Bibi says, so you must remember this Rubio and Bibi Netanyahu say, yes, we will forge along with the Trump plan. The Trump plan is dead, is a non-starter, is a no-brainer. Where the hell are you going to take 2 million people and replace them? Not one Arab country. The traitors also will not accept them because they know what will happen. So the world condemns Trump and Netanyahu and Rubio and all these haramis who want to steal and occupy the land of Gaza. Hence this past weekend, thousands of marchers and protesters in the Western country, hands of Gaza, hands of Gaza. You see how the world opinion is turning. 3 million Jutlas, the Independent has now reported this. From 7th October 2023 till today, more than 3 million Jutlas are suffering from trauma. They can't sleep, they can't work, they can't concentrate. So that's also a punishment directly from him. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, Allahumma shattid shamlahum, Allahumma dammir diyarahum, Allahumma khali bayna qulubihim wa sufufihim, Allahumma alayka bil yahudi zalimin al muhtallin al ghasibin al mustawtinin ya rabbal alameen. You decimate and destroy the Jutlas. Ya Ameen, Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Putin and Trump to meet in Saudi most probably this week. And the topic is Ukraine. The topic is the war there must stop. But Ukraine is not invited. Europe is not invited. These are the big guys, the heavyweights. One side Putin, one side Trump. And he knows, Trump knows how powerful Putin is. They defeated Hitler, that is the Russians. They defeated Napoleon, so he knows. And they defeat America as well, you know, and their allies. So therefore, rather we make peace. Zelensky is a mufatia. He just wants, we must give him more money and more dollars. So they sidelined him and Europe. So Europe are furious. So today they're having their own meeting there in Paris, in Paris, France today. But they already sidelined, remember that. The far right is gaining great support in Germany. So obviously that's not good for Islam and Muslims. But Allah will humiliate them, remember that. Israel must get out from Lebanon immediately. Before the 18th of February, February 18th deadline. That is what Hezbollah has said, and we agree with them. Now see, Hezbollah and one side and the Lebanese army on the other side. So they are now clashing, and the clashes took place right next to Beirut airport. Why? Hezbollah will say that these Jutlas must get out, and we must get rid of them. They must not occupy a single inch or meter of Lebanon. But now you know government and their army, they're always puppets of America and so forth. 18 people killed in Delhi stampede, there by the railway station. People want to go for the prayer, but how many hundreds have died already? How many have been injured and so forth? So crowd control is a big problem there in India. See Gideon Levy, what he wrote in the Haaretz newspaper. Wonderful. You see, when the Jutlas, the Haramis, the Israelis, They released our prisoners from their torture cells and from the places where they were persecuting them. Several of them were so serious they had to be hospitalized immediately. Their lives were in danger. They made them wear the uniform. Never forget, never forgive. We, the Jutlas, they said, will never forgive, will never forget. And that is, they always try and play the victim. Always remember that of the Zionists and the Jews and so forth. So Gideon Levy, a Jew, but he writes most of the time very good articles. So he says, never forget, never forgive. Must be for the Palestinians, not for the Jews. You are the aggressor. You are the terrorist. You are the occupier. You are the murderer. You are guilty of war crimes, you harami, and world opinion has turned against you. We remember the words of our leader, Sheikh Ahmed Yassin, Nawwarallah Marqadahu, the founder of Hamas in 1987. And he said, Inshallah, Inshallah, Laziz, Zawalu Israel. Israel will collapse and fall in the year 2027. It's not something to do with belief. It is just his opinion. Inshallah, it could happen before that, or it could happen during that time, or after that. But he said, by 2027, Israel Khalas will be thrown out, and everybody will know what a terrible mistake it was and is. And Allah has said so, that فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ الْآخِرَةِ. Chapter 17, verse 7, how the Jews and their supporters will be humiliated, disgraced, and then they will be defeated as well. Trump is forcing India and Modi that you must buy more and more gas from us. But Modi and India know that they don't want to upset the deals and the trade deals they are making with Russia and Putin. So they will play one against the other and try and benefit from both parties. We give you the news from South Africa. South Africa will be facing a business disaster if America applies sanctions on South Africa. Now listen to the U.S. Embassy in South Africa, what they're doing. So they're in Pretoria, U.S. Embassy, to submit a petition from the whiteys, those who are whites in South Africa, Afrikaners and so forth, to Trump, that you better do something before our farms and all that get expropriated without compensation and so forth and so on. But the Boer and the whites know the crimes they committed in apartheid, remember, against all of us non-whites, that is the blacks, the coloureds and Indians. So we can't forget that, and we can't forgive also, remember that, without reparations, without compensation. So now they want to be the good guy. My message to you, Boer, Afrikaner, pick up and go. He's telling you to go, he'll give you refugee status. So if you don't like South Africa, pick up and get the hell out of here. That you just want white privilege and so forth is not going to happen. Mandla Mandela, the grandson of Nelson, he condemned Israel. You are killing, murdering toddlers and children and babies and so forth. Hang your heads in shame. That is what he told them. So you must remember that. That you are the haramis, you are the guilty party, and you want to play that you are the good person. Listen to this story. Yesterday I was in the plane, and I love reading, you know. So the Sunday World carried this. Mbeki says, and is indicating, that Zuma was planted there at Robben Island and is a spy for the enemy and so forth. So that's a very, very difficult story to buy. Zuma spent 10 years or more there at Robben Island, and the real reason is Zuma is much more famous than Mbeki, even in public circles and so forth. He has faded, and Zuma is shining still. Despite all his troubles, they call him President Zuma. I myself, I like him. So you must remember, he did some good things for us Muslims. He never signed that document that will be against the Muslims when he was president of South Africa. He told our Muslim lawyers, and I know them personally, that he said, they want me to sign this so that we can harm Muslims and Islam, and I refuse to do so. The Muslim Women magazine is available, the March edition. very good, all to do with Ramadan and related issues. Buy a copy, buy copies, and give to your friend 25 rand well spent. I see the world media is saying the first gay imam was gunned down in South Africa, in Kibeha, Port Elizabeth, and so forth. Well, one of my students and listeners gave me the exact date when I debated with him, and it was in February, 15 years ago, 2010. And that day I told him, you, when you die, you will be no Salatul Janaza for you, no funeral prayer for you. You will not be buried in a graveyard, Muslim graveyard. They can dump you in wherever they want. And lo and behold, 15 years after that debate, which I defeated him with the help and mercy of Allah, humiliated him, and now dispatched straight to Jahannam. We don't curry favor with any person, any organization, politician, or government. Islam says for the gay brigade is the death penalty. So remember that, the person who pulled the trigger. My brother, you did well. Don't worry about people and so forth. Today, our programs, you want to hear about the gay person, so you call him an imam is an insult, so we'll call him gay person. Mozaid Khan will interview me today between 8:30 and 9. We on Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we'll discuss the whole topic in detail, inshallah al-Aziz. 1 to 2 is the tafsir and commentary of the Noble Quran, and 2 to 2:30 is a report back our trip to Natal, to Durban, Marisburg. Wonderful trip. Allah kabul farmaya. Allah ta'ala accepted. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. And then tonight, inshallah, 8 to 10, will be the live Q&A with Hafiz Hussain Wadi on Radio Al-Ansar International, Sirius FM, and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Masaleem, we have about 17, 18 minutes left for the Q&A. So let's fire up, inshallah al-Aziz.
Islam, as a warning to the Muslim Ummah, those men and women who are lesbians and homosexuals, when they die, must they be buried in a Muslim Kabristan, and must they Salatul Janaza be performed?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. There are three issues here. Every person who has iman, true iman and true Islam, will know the gay business and homosexuality and lesbian and so forth is worse than committing zina, fornication, adultery. On that there is ijma and consensus. It is an unnatural act. Even animals don't perform that. But this masterpiece, this human being, he is so much bombarded by the evil forces. And even he, this harami who was shot, remember, on Saturday. So he also was paid by the Western organizations to do all these type of things and so forth. So anyway, that's issue number one. There's ijma and consensus that gay business, lesbian, all that is worse than fornication, adultery. Two, if that person says that I'm a Muslim, this is my own personal weakness, I know it's haram and so forth and so on, so then we will say he's a Muslim, and then we will bury him in the Muslim graveyard after bathing him, shrouding him, performing Salatul Janaza and so forth. Like how people commit zina, fornication, adultery, commit so many other crimes, murder, riba, interest and so forth and so on. So it is a major, major crime, but you can't say the person is out of the fold of Islam when he himself is telling you, I know it is sinful and this is my personal weakness. Third one, when that person says that it is permissible, like this harami, when I debated with him, he told me, yes, it is permissible. I told him, what about all these Quranic verses? He says, that is no when one person rapes the other person. If there is mutual consent, then it's permissible. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. Naqal kufr, kufr nabashad, naqlul kufri laysa bi kafirin. I'm telling you what he said, remember. So people like that, 100% are murtad, out of the fold of Islam. We have nothing to do with them. We don't have Salatul Janaza for them. We don't have no kafan shrouding for them. Nothing. They will not be buried in a Muslim graveyard unless you have some hypocrite somewhere and they bury him in a Muslim graveyard and so forth. So these are three different issues, and on all three there's consensus and ijma on these three issues.
Mufti Saab, can we make dua for a person who committed suicide?
When a person commits suicide, again the same ruling will apply. If he or she says committing suicide is permissible, then he or she died a murtad out of the fold of Islam. And then the hadith and saying of the master, Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will be applicable. Khalidan mukhalladan fiha abada. They will stay in Jahannam and the hellfire forever and ever, eternal doom and gloom. But if that person said he had so many domestic problems, husband, wife, the rows and ructions, he was drowning in his debts, or for example, he had other problems, gambling, and now they were coming to assassinate him or torture him. So he or she, for that matter, Allah forbid, went to commit suicide. But they say that they know it's haram, and it is not a minor sin, it's not a major sin, it's Akbarul Kabair, one of the most heinous crimes in Islam. But that person says, I know it's haram, it's my own personal weakness. So yes, we will have Salatul Janaza, we will do everything, and we should make dua for him or her. Chapter 14, verse 41, رَبَّنَا فِلِّي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Oh, beloved Allah, Jalla wala, forgive me. Forgive my beloved parents and the believers. We cannot pray for non-Muslims after their death and they are dying, because the Quran is very, very clear and explicit on that. Chapter 9, verse 84, وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا وَلَا تَقُمْ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِهِ. To pray for them is not permissible, and to participate in their funeral and the memorial and all that is haram in Islam and not permissible.
Mufti Saab, some people reserve their spots in the masjid. When you are early, you first in the first sub. If you are there first, do I have to give my spot to a mufti or a molana? I see this is now common.
Remember, in Islam, there is no reservation places and spot in the masjid, nor for the molana, nor for the mufti, nor for a big sheikh. And the only person whose place is reserved is the imam. He is the leader of the prayer. In some masajid, you will find that where the muazzin, normally he is behind the imam, so they place a musalla for him also, remember that. So that also is not teaching of Islam. He can render the iqamah from anywhere in the first serve, second serve, third serve, and so forth. So to place a musalla or to place something there, reserve it for the trustee or for some person, a rich person or a famous mufti, famous alim, all that not permissible in Islam. And when I came here to Lanesia, I will even mention the masjid. In 2001, January, with the help and grace and mercy of Almighty Allah, Jalla wala, my neighbor Rashid Bhai Bulbulia, wonderful person, Allah Ta'ala grant Khala, his wife, Jannat al-Firdaus, she passed away on a Friday, Asr time. So nevertheless, 15 years we lived as neighbors. So he used to pick me up and we used to go to Jami Masjid. So there at the back, our brothers, mostly from India, and then they placed the musalla. So they used to come every day. Zuhur time, make second, third, fourth jamaat. Asr time, come, make their own jamaat. So I took that musalla away and I told them that this is not permissible in Islam according to all four schools. Daily you come and make second, third jamaat and congregation, you're undermining the teaching of Islam, and this is unacceptable. So therefore, you the trustees, you the honorable imam, you should know you can't be reserving the place for the muazzin or for anybody else. Not permissible.
Mufti Saab, if a farmer who grows maize or grape sell his harvest on auction, there's no control who buys it from auction. It may be sold to one who makes wine or beer. Is the farmer sinful?
When I was a young boy, I told you on several occasions, so that I grew up there in Heidelberg. It's actually Afrikaans word. Heidel is the plumber, the flowers, and Berg is the hill. So the flowers on the hill, and in Transvaal, and now Gauteng, you see. So I was not really interested in the shop, but now December time and all that, my father said, come on, get to the shop and sell the cold drink and all that. Sisa pita, you see, my mother, father used to say, they just take cold drink and they take 3-4 and they pay for one. So sisa pita, that's proper memon with the sweet, you see. So nevertheless, so then I see them, that the Africans normally, they will buy yeast, you know, yeast. Then they will buy brown sugar. And then they will buy matombo. Matombo was malt, you see. So then when we alone, then I asked my father, I say, why these people, they buy all these things? He say, after that, they mix everything up and they make their home beer, home brew, you see. So what they do, that is their business. Individually for you to sell, it is permissible. So similarly, that you sell guns, you sell knives, and that person goes and commit murder, you will not be held responsible and so forth. You sell, you must remember, underwear. And that lady goes and buys the underwear from your shop and goes and sell her body and a prostitute and so forth. It's not your son. So you are a Muslim farmer, and now you have a bumper crop, bumper harvest, and now you must remember that person comes. You know he is going to make wine, or he's going to use it with the swine, and so forth and so on. So there's no blame on you. What they do with it after they walk out from your premises, your shop, that is their business, and we are not responsible for that.
Mufti Saab, if a person will be sinful, and will his ibadat be accepted if doubtful meat was consumed by deception?
Remember that yesterday also this question came. So remember in Islam, Nabi alayhi salatu salam taught us, da'a ma yuribuka ila ma la yuribuk. Leave that which places you into doubt and opt for that in which there is no doubt. So each one of us should know that in Islam we are commanded by Allah Jalla Wala to eat and consume halal and tayyiba, that which is lawful and tayyib, pure and wholesome. There is no contamination, no adulteration and so forth and so on. But yet the person was deceived. So there is no blame upon you, but read every day. We commit so many vices and sins. So remember, read 2 rakat salat to Tawbah for repentance daily, and read daily chapter 2, verse 286, the last verse of Surah Baqarah. أطول سورة في القرآن الكريم, the longest surah and chapter in the noble Quran, 286 verses, and the last verse starts, that is the dua, ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. Ya Allah, O our Rabb, sustain. Why you say ربنا, ربنا, ربنا? That brings about more humility in us. We are non-entities, we are nothing, and Almighty Allah was, is, will always be the greatest, the mightiest, the most majestic. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Rabbana la tu'akhidna, do not take us to task. In nasina, if we did something forgetfully, we said something forgetfully, or akhtana, or we did something inadvertently and unintentionally. So Allah Ta'ala will then forgive us, and Allah will envelope us in His mercy and give us some charity also.
Mufti Saab, a question from a sister. Is my husband a mahram for my mother?
So 100% the son-in-law is a mahram for the mother-in-law. The Quran says that. Surah 4, chapter 4, Surah Nisa, verse 23. وَأُمَّهَاتُ نِسَائِكُمْ. And you, I. So I'm married to my wife, so my wife's mother. So I can never ever marry her. We went for Hajj together. She stayed here and she passed away here. So you must remember in 2001, Allah Jalla Wala grant all our marhumeen, every Muslim, whether we know or we don't know, Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la. So 100% the son-in-law will be the mahram for the mother-in-law. Similarly, the father-in-law, that he will be the mahram for the daughter-in-law. O abaihinna, O abai bu'ulatihinna. Chapter 24, verse 31. So all this is in the Quran. However, if there's fear of hanky-panky business, then it is haram for them to be alone. The father-in-law is alone with the daughter-in-law. Nobody in the house. And now he wants to do some funny things with her. So then for her to be alone with him and for him to be alone with her, absolutely haram. And you must not stay there in that particular house when all these haram activities are taking place.
Mufti Saab, please advise if organ donation when you die is allowed in Islam or not.
Totally haram in Islam. After your death, you can't be donating your limbs and your organs to A, B, C, X, Y, Z. Whilst you're alive, can you donate? No. Whilst you're alive, so remember this difference of opinion. This is al-masailul ijtihadiyya. It was not there during the time of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba's time, the golden era. So therefore, you will find our own honorable teachers and mashayikh, some of them say, it's not permissible, like Hazrat Mufti Shafi'i Sahib rahimahullah and them, they wrote the book, Masa Insani A'adha Ki Pewan Kari. But afterwards, many other ulama came and they revisited this issue and they say it is permissible with condition. So that's the fatwa we issue and give. We say permissible with conditions. Somebody needs a kidney, somebody needs a cornea, eye, and so forth. And you gave it and donated it to that person there. Not for cosmetic and aesthetic reasons, but for need, necessity, matter of life and death. And there's no selling of that organ and buying and so forth. So like that, all these are the conditions. وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. When you save one person's life, it's like saving the life of humanity. So like that, مَنْ خَيْرُ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ. The best of people are those who are an asset to people. Go study Musnad Ahmad, Mishkat Sharif, Muslim Sharif. There are various ahadith on nafi'iyat, where we become an asset to humanity.
Mufti Saab, my dad is waiting for approval for a job and it's taking a long time. Is there anything that we can read for the job offer to come quicker?
Remember that regarding the previous issue, so we will say that our respected ulama and scholars who say not permissible, so that is taqwa and precaution. And what we are saying, it is permissible with conditions, so that will be the fatwa and the verdict, and that is how you reconcile everything. Regarding your father waiting for approval and so forth, he must read salat more and more. Wasta'inu bisabri wassalah. Seek divine assistance, intervention via patience and salat. Read the Asma'ullah al-Husna, chapter 7, verse 180. Read it, and Bukhari Sharif's hadith, man hafidaha dakhal al-jannah. You by heart and memorize the 99 names of Allah, Jalla wala, you go to Jannah and paradise. And in Tirmidhi Sharif, it's mentioned, man ahsaha dakhal al-jannah. Who looks inside and read it also. So ye will end paradise. So read, Ya Wahhabu, Ya Wahhabu. Ya Allah, you are the best of giver. Give us the shop, Ya Allah, if there is khair in it. There are impediments and obstacles. Read, Ya Fattahu, Ya Fattahu, Ya Allah. Remove all the impediments and obstacles. Read Surah Al-Ilafi Quraishan, chapter 106 of the Noble Quran abundantly. InshaAllah, Allah will make khair for the father and the family, inshallah, Aziz.
Mufti Saab, do women need to cover their feet with socks while reading Salah?
Yes, it is compulsory, not only whilst reading Salat. You're going to the hospital to visit somebody. You're going to the shop for shopping, you know, or groceries, whatever, with your son, with your father, brother, whatever. So you must cover your feet. It's compulsory. And that is the verdict of the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis. And the Dalil and evidence of theirs is very strong. Chapter 24, Surah Nur, verse 31. That the Quran Sharif states for the ladies, وَلَا يَدْرِبْنَ بِأَرْجُلِهِنَّ لِيُؤْلَمَ مَا يُخْفِينَ مِنْ زِينَتِهِنَّ. You know the loose ladies, they hang around by the corners of the streets and then they tap their feet. Al-Ka'bu al-Ali, Sheikh bin Baz rahimahullah wrote, nice word, Al-Ka'bu al-Ali. Ka'bu al-Ali means the ladies walking with high heels, tuck. Tuck, 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 making big noise. So you're drawing attention to yourself to wear that kind of high heels that make so much noise. Not permissible. So we must remember, yeah, the Quran Sharif called the feet and so forth, zina, beauty, adornment. So therefore, to wear the socks, stockings, whatever is compulsory, Shafi'is, Malik'is, Hanbali's verdict. Hanafi's say mustahab, better, not compulsory. But I'm telling you, ladies, when you go to Makkah Mukarramah and you're performing tawaf and so forth, and then you touch the men touch you and your toes, and then you are guilty of a major, major sin. Therefore, all of you, the Hanafi women, it's best for you to wear it. My wife many a time when she reads Salat and that she should wear the socks or stockings or whatever, so that you practice on ihtiyat and precaution. And when you're in Makkah and that, then you must wear it, even to go into Hanafi school, because otherwise you will be guilty of a major, major crime. The fuqaha, the jurors of Islam, have a law, al-khuruj anil-khilaf, which means that the majority scholars are saying something, the Hanafis are saying something, or vice versa. So you must remember that do such an action that you come out from that difference of opinion. So if you wear it, then nobody got difference of opinion, everybody agrees on it. So you call that al-khuruj and al-khilaf, is a principle of Islam there. And remember, for you ladies, why we emphasizing and reiterating regarding Makkah Mukarrama, because Allah Himself says, chapter 22, Suratul Hajj, and the surah chapter on pilgrimage, and verse 25, وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِظُلْمٍ نُزِقْهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Whosoever just makes intention of deviation and zulmin, oppression, transgression, just intention, نُزِقْهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ, we will unleash a painful, terrible punishment, chastisement for that person. Allah Jalla Wala protect us all. I don't know, Maulana, we finish or you'll take one more question?
One more question, Mufti Sahib, on the same token, is it jais for a boy who's going for a proposal to ask the lady, can I see your feet?
No, 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 just now he wants to see feet and he'll see this and see that and he'll go higher and higher, you know. So remember in the olden days when the girls used to go to school, so they used to wear long, long dresses, then they told them knee height, then they told them that higher, higher, now they brought it miniskirt. So then they're wondering why the schools and varsities have turned into brothels and so forth. So you, brother, you want to check, like. So you will tell her that push your scarf a little bit back. So I want to check your hair out a little bit. Pull your sleeves up. I want to check your arms a little bit. And then pick up your dress, you see. So I want to check your feet up and so. Not permissible, all these things. Yeah. Quran Kareem gave us a law, Saddu Zari'a. Islam teaches us to nip things in the bud. Wala taqrabu zina. Do not even go near fornication and adultery. The kuffar system give everybody permission to smoke and vape and drugs and what have you. And alcohol, wine, dine and swine. So they will spend 1 billion, 2 billion on that. Then they'll spend 4 billion, 10 million on the rehab. Islam says, no, from the start you don't touch it. So we don't need the rehab or anything. That is the Islamic principle. Saddu zari'a, stop it in the initial stages. So that is what Islam will say. And you can't be checking that girl out, Mr. Shooter, Mr. Shooter. You see, when you're alone with her, she must be there with her father, brother, or she must be there with some mahram of hers. And then you meet her and make your proposal or show your interest and so forth. Barakallahu feek. Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.